Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it going down? Get up, all right?
Urban Media Today talks sports. We got Ray Porter Jr., Cliff McAfee Jr., we got Vince Butts, had to break it up, Vince, Keith Platt Jr., David Jones Jr., and we have a special guest this week, Mr. Curtis Baldwin. Curtis, tell me you're not a junior.
He is.
I am a junior. Baldwin Jr.
Are you kidding me?
Proud of
it. Are you serious right now?
Sir.
Are you telling me every black man in America named his son a junior?
There's a funny story behind my name.
We're gonna let Ray introduce you so everybody knows who you are. You are Ray's guest this week, a special guest to the show. We definitely welcome you. But go ahead, Ray. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Sir Trevin. Yeah, it's my honor to introduce a good brother, a good friend in the person of Curtis Baldwin Jr. and emphasize the junior, of course. I'm grateful. He's a sports mind. He is a sports enthusiast. He's a Bengals fan, and as I mentioned, a very happy Bengals fan, as he's wearing his AFC Champions hat. Yeah. And also, he's a graduate of Grambling State. See, he's a proud HBCU man of the heritage as well. So we are glad to have him as partner. He is a great sports mind as well. So we're definitely glad to have Mr. Curtis Baldwin Jr.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you all for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to a good conversation. So glad to be here.
No doubt. Went to school down in the bayou. I feel you,
yes,
brother.
Sir. Yes, sir.
But you were out there, though.
I was in the country. A lot of people feel like, oh, Grambling's like, no, people don't realize Grambling's in northern Louisiana, okay?
Most definitely.
About 5 hours from New Orleans and 3 from Baton Rouge. We're in the country.
No doubt. But don't sleep on Grambling basketball or football, mainly football. Women's basketball. The men, they were up and coming, trying to do some things down there as well. Much respect to the athletics program at Grambling. All right, you said you had a funny story about your name. So before we get into sports, because we got a lot, I'm flying blind. So I'm gonna throw a lot of stuff at you guys tonight. And you know, we always got stuff to talk about. You know, Keith always gonna have something to say. Keith got it going. He's ready to go, man. So go ahead, Curtis. Before we even get into that, we'll let you go ahead. And what's the story about the junior?
Okay, so when my parents found out that I was coming, they didn't know, you know, what I was going to be. My mom, may God rest her soul, wanted a junior, you know, right off the bat. I know I want to name him, you know, after the father. My dad was against it. My dad said, no, I don't want a junior, let him have his own name. So my mom spent a whole lot of time researching my name. So she came up with this name. And it was supposed to be Jamil Kadeem Baldwin, which means Black Prince in Swahili. And so that was going to be my name when I was born and my dad held me for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
My dad said, no, let's name him Junior. Needless to say, my mom was ready. My mom was ready to let him have it. So that's how I can, and it's funny because that's how I was with my son. Me and my wife, we had 3 names picked out: Malachi, Solomon, and Trey, Curtis the third. But it's funny, the moment I held my son, I said, nah, he's not gonna be a third. Right off the bat, just like that, not be a third. So Malachi. So I understand. Now 42 years of having my own son, I told my dad, I understand now.
Yeah, no doubt. So you were going to be a prince until the king spoke, and he said, nah, I need him closer than that. We're going to make him junior.
Yeah. So dad almost got a right cross that day.
That's funny. Yo, I'm glad you're here, man, because it is Black History Month. And since you are a Grambling State alum, just to point out a real cool fact, and for you young ones, Google it. Grambling State performed at Super Bowl I. At the very first Super Bowl, Grambling State performed at halftime in HBCU. Yes, so we're talking back in the 60s now. So for Grambling State to do that, the first Super Bowl of all Super Bowls, Grambling State's marching band was the halftime performance. So kudos and much respect to the Tigers. I love the colors, man. That kind of like burnt orange or that red and the gold was crazy.
Our traditional colors are black and gold, and red is like an alternative color for us. So, but yeah,
right.
Red colors are black and gold, just like my fraternity. So I'm loving that.
Like just like your fraternity.
Yes, sir.
What did you know about Cornell University?
Oh, come on, man. College days swiftly passed. Come on now.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, see, Ray didn't tell me that. Ray didn't let me know that A5 was up in the house. So now we're going to take it to another level.
Well, you know what? I noticed the 1906, and I was like, when I got the invite, I saw the 1906, like, oh, somebody's frat.
No doubt. That's frat. What's up. Much respect to the Coach is not here tonight. Coach is a Kappa. So Coach and I got into it last weekend because I kind of called him out because he talked about Jim Caldwell, who's also a Kappa. But Coach wasn't showing Coach Caldwell's too much support, so I told him I was going to tell on him. But much respect to Kappa Alpha Psi as well, Coach Hoyd, who's not here tonight. He had to take a break. I think he had a meeting, so it's all good. Or here today, Saturday morning. Super Bowl is tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm excited. But before we even get there, fellas, because that's the easy topics. I got to ask you guys this. Earlier this week, I'm looking through some sports stories, and I saw this one story that said it ranked the coaches in the NFL. Wow. I'm already mad because you only got two black men in the NFL as head coaches. You have one Latino brother in the NFL as a head coach. So out of the 32 teams, Coach Mike Tomlin was ranked 31.
Mm-hmm. I saw that too.
All right.
You have to be kidding.
I know I got Steelers fans in here. Thank you. Go ahead. Go. I don't see it. I don't see it. Somebody. Keith.
Go ahead, Keith.
You're always going to have haters, man. Always going to have the haters all the time.
You be ranked 31 if you never had to lose a season. First of all, like that should be like, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I think blatant disrespect because Mike Tomlin, and I'm a diehard Bengals fan, but I have nothing but love and respect, you know, for the Steelers organization, just how they've run that organization over the years. And the Rooney family and Mike Tomlin, there's no that's just to me disrespectful because Mike Tomlin the years of success and looking at the teams that you've had to put together, you know, and make competitive, you know, in itself. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago he had three different quarterbacks. One of them was Duck Hodge, and he still. You know, he was still able to coach that team, you know, to a 500 record. And I'm like, you know, and to me, that's like one of the best, you know, coaching I've ever seen. You know, so it's just, it's, you know, to me, you know, Mike Tomlin, you know, deserves more respect than that. You know, us black men, we gotta, you know, there's a standard and we got to get above that standard. And then Mike Tomlin's been above that standard for a number of years.
Now you hit on one of two things. One thing you just brought up, and I can't let it go by because there's one brother in this room that swore by this dude and said this dude was going to be a great quarterback, was awesome numbers because he was better than Steve McNair's numbers in college. Just said, yo, man, he's going to be the man. Go ahead. You already shaking your head. You know I'm coming for you. What happened to Duck Hodges, man? What happened to him? He disappeared.
I didn't say that. I said he was going to be a good stopgap quarterback, man. That's what I said. He was just a bridge quarterback. Keith. But once everybody got film on him, it was over. But FYI,
Keith, but that's not what you said, bro. Well. That's not what you said.
You and I got into a heated. Two games in a row.
Nah, bro. You was going crazy for some dunk award.
And I was taking over your team.
Old saying goes, run the tape.
I didn't say it was going. I didn't say it was going to be the next beat.
Call out everyone.
Run the tape. You said he was going to be the next greatest quarterback, but you just was like all in. It's like, yo, Trav, but he did better than Steve McNair in numbers in college. And I was like, yo, you don't even compare to Steve McNair.
No,
he don't even compare. He's not even in the same classification as Steve McNair.
I didn't say in the NFL he was going to blow the world on fire. At the time, he was solid for us until they got filled with him. And then he something like the ship.
Okay. All right. Well, we were talking about Mike Tomlin on this list, but I just couldn't let that duck reference slide by because I'm like, yo.
Hey, Tomlin kept us afloat with that boy, man. So, like you said, I just show you.
Yeah.
Hey,
all right. Go ahead, Ray.
Crazy. Yeah, because they said, what did they say? He was named the second worst coach in the NFL in 2021 in forms of efficiency and fourth time decision making by EDJ Sports. I mean, that's nitpicking, man. I mean, who really puts time in
pro football? Focus.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with it in terms of efficiency and fourth down decision making. I mean, that's dumb.
Now I will say this about Mike Tomlin and Ray. Me and you touched on this a couple of days ago,
right?
You know, looking at his keeping Canada as offensive coordinator and promoting Austin. Now listen, again, y'all say I'm a diehard Bengals fan, and Terrell Austin was our defensive coordinator for 8 weeks, and he got fired because he couldn't do nothing.
Baltimore, Detroit's defensive coordinator, and they had pretty good rankings at the end of the season too, my brother.
Well, I mean, I'm just going by what he did in Cincinnati. And, you know, you got to remember when he was D.C. in Cincinnati, we still had a very strong defense, you know, Wontaze Perfect, you know, Carlos Dunlap, Geno Atkins, and those guys were still there. So we still had a solid, you know, good defense. And there was this one play, and Ray, we talked about it. There was one play where when we played the Steelers, it was in Cincinnati, and it was a game drive, and he caught a zero blitz. And AB broke it for a touchdown.
And right in.
Winner. And the defense never practiced a zero blitz. The defense never practiced it. In fact, and I wish I could find the video, Vontaze Burfict was coming off the field saying, "We ain't never practiced no zero blitz. Why he call it a zero blitz?" And then when the Saints laid a 51 on us, Marvin's like, okay, I gotta, Marvin's like, yeah, I gotta go. So, I mean, he's probably had some success before. Like I said, I can only go by what he did in Cincinnati. And, you gotta remember, our defense, for a long time under Zimmer and Gunther, we were a top 10, top 15 defense year in and year out. So, and, not much had changed, So, yeah. So, I mean, good luck to y'all. But I'm just saying, I also don't have the greatest, a resume, when it comes to us. Now, what he did beforehand, I'm not sure, but.
So I'm going to let you get away with all that because tomorrow's a Super Bowl and, your boys are playing tomorrow. We'll see what happens. But normally, and you're a special guest, but so normally I would have tried to jump in there and break all that down and just tear that apart because Marvin Lewis, I don't care what list, who's looking as a head coach. The brother was successful to a point. I think that in all honesty, there was a period of time where the Cincinnati Bengals had what's the way to say it? They had more off the field problems than they did on the playing field.
Yeah.
So early, for a coach to handle that and still have the performances that he had on the field, I'm cool with that. And then also, and I'll let you speak in a second because I know you won't get at me. Also, when you look at the coach, if you want to look at Marvin Lewis, you have to look at the whole franchise as a whole. You have to look at the GM. You have to look at the ownership. You have to look at everything. And I say that to say this. There's no list that Mike Tomlin should be 31st on out of 32 coaches unless it's a list of the least professional coaches in the NFL. I'll put that out there. But go ahead, bro.
No, what you're saying about Marvin is absolutely correct. It's nothing to, I have nothing but love and respect for Marvin. He took I mean, I lived in, you know, I was a fan during the 90s, and our team was terrible in the 90s. And Marvin took that and changed the culture of the franchise. And you talk to you know different Bengal fans, you know, they'll tell you, you know, Marvin laid the foundation to what's going on right now. I mean, that's a fact. You can't deny that. You know, he didn't have the playoff success, but the things he did, you know, first of all, you know, to have the relationship he had with Mike Brown, you know, that was in itself, you know, a big step, because, you know, Mike Brown, you know, didn't make that many great decisions, you know, in the 90s. And so when Marvin came along, you know, Marvin opened him up, and, you know, and it took a lot of time, but solved him down to where, you know, he trusted Marvin to make certain, you know, decisions for the club. So, yeah, you know, without Marvin Lewis, Zach Taylor doesn't come in and do the things that he's doing now, you know, for the team. You know, $200-some million in free agency over the last 2 years. In Bengaldom, that's unheard of.
No doubt. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We're going to come right back after this timeout.
Urban Media Today celebrates Black History Month. Here's a Black History Month spotlight with Kiki Brown on Urban Media Today. August Wilson, a Pittsburgh native, playwright, Pulitzer Prize winner, and legend, born April 27, 1945. Growing up in the Hill District section of Pittsburgh, August Wilson became a pioneer in the arts, building a collection of timeless theatrical pieces that continue to teach, reach, and inspire young artists from all around the world. Academy Award winner Denzel Washington traveled to Pittsburgh to film Fences, Wilson's first screenplay, which won actress Viola Davis an Academy Award for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, and nominated for Best Performance by an Actor for Denzel Washington and Best Adapted Screenplay for Mr. Wilson himself. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Denzel Washington says he plans to produce 10 Pulitzer-winning playwright August Wilson's plays for HBO over the next decade. Why not shine a spotlight on a pioneer who's been shining their brightness on the city of Pittsburgh from the beginning? Celebrating August Wilson this Black History Month, I'm Kiki Brown.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports. Keith Platt Jr., David Jones Jr., Cliff McAfee Jr., Ray Porter Jr., Curtis Baldwin Jr., who's our special guest, Vince. I almost got confused because I was going to say Vince Butts. Jr., man, so that's why you hear me pause. But we're talking football right now. We're talking NFL. We were talking about how Coach Tomlin, there's no list that Coach Mike Tomlin should be number 31 out of 32 head coaches in the NFL on. And I don't even care what the list is about. If you have him at 31, unless it's 31 showing that he's positive, 31, the bottom of it, or the 32nd position is the best position, then I'm not even feeling you if you have him on the list at that, you know. And I don't think anybody in this group is on this panel. But Curtis was talking about the Bengals. I'm going to let him finish talking real quick. And then we're going to talk about, because they're playing tomorrow. So, you know, we got to give our special guest special attention. So his boys is playing tomorrow. But go ahead, man.
No, I was just saying, like, you know, and then we can get back to, you know, my time, because that was the subject matter. But, you know, when it comes to just, you know, Marvin Lewis, you know, his impact on the Bengals is cannot be, you know, understated. Of course, yeah, you know, when you look at, you know, his playoff record, you know, it speaks for itself.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, I mean, to do the things he did, to change to bring the Bengals organization into, you know, to the modern NFL, you know, and then lay the foundation for Zach Taylor to come in and really do what he's doing now, you know. And now that's right. And don't get me wrong, Zach Taylor deserves all the credit for what he's doing now. That no doubt. But Marvin Lewis, from a structural, you know, cultural standpoint, laid that foundation. So, but no, back to Mike Tomlin. Oh man, like, no, that's to me, that's just disrespectful. You know, he is hands down. And I'm really glad to say this, he's a future Hall of Famer. You know,
oh yeah, he's getting there for sure.
Mike Tomlin is a future Hall of Famer.
Most definitely, if you think of the most recent three coaches that the Pittsburgh Steelers have had, and I know some Pittsburgh fans might even get mad at me, but if you look at the most three most recent coaches, because Pittsburgh had more than three coaches, a lot of people don't know that, but the franchise actually had more than just three coaches.
Right.
But for him to never have a losing season and to be constantly be compared to the previous two coaches, man, come on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even a Steelers fan.
You can't fill Chuck Noll's shoes, first of all. You'll never know. There's nobody that can fill those shoes. You know, Bill Cowher, and then you got Bill Cowher, and then you got Mike Tomlin. I mean, the things Mike Tomlin did to keep the Steelers competitive on down here, you know, that can't go understated. It really can't. I can't. And you know, and I'm a football fan before I'm a Bengals fan. You know, I love football, so I'm gonna get respect where it's due, and Mike Tomlin deserves respect.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ray.
And like I was saying, you know, it's nitpicky. It's just a nitpicky world right now. I mean, especially when you're in the city where, you know, the fans are spoiled to the point where they're expecting Pittsburgh to win every year. So it's easy to nitpick. If it's not losing season, then it's the fact that they haven't won a playoff game in years. And if it wasn't that, it was the fact that you lost to Tim Tebow and he lost to Blake Bortles, you know. So my thing is, if you're willing to do all that put that all under a microscope, then it's more than meets the eye on why people have problems with Mike Tomlin. Because never mind that Marty Schottenheimer never got his team to the Super Bowl.
He lost to Baker Mayfield too.
But see, I have respect for Mayfield though. Yeah, I don't put him in the category of Blake Bortles. Man. So can't Tim Tebow.
Really?
So. Yes, I do. I mean, hey, he's still the starting quarterback. So I give him that respect. You know what I'm saying? But
I think Vince got problems over there.
But the thing about it is, man. John Madden never had a losing season either. But they don't talk about all the AFC championship games he lost.
Mm-hmm.
The Dolphins one ring. So my thing is, just give the man the credit and do it. He is, I mean, people love him. They love him. Players love him. And the fact is, if he ever was loving, you said this too, Trevor, before. If he ever did move on, they'd have folks lining at the door for him. Period. Just like they did with Tony Dungy when he got fired from the Buccaneers. So, you know.
Ursay picked him up quick.
And no doubt. I'm going to shift gears on you guys real quick. I got a problem. And we can come back to football real quick. But real quick, and I saw you guys kind of texting about it today. And I'm like, yeah, no. I right. trust the process, and I'm a six-year man, but I'm not feeling.
I ain't feeling.
I have respect for him as a player, but I'm not feeling the beard coming to Philly. I think the Nets got, man, they made out in this deal. Is just my opinion, and I'm thinking, and everybody, y'all can correct me later if I'm wrong, but Ben Simmons is gonna fool y'all now that he's playing with the Nets.
Fresh start, huh?
25 years old.
He got KD and Kyrie. Are you kidding me right now? He don't have no pressure on
Kyrie.
Him.
Remember that. I don't have Kyrie.
He ain't got Kyrie. Kyrie barely plays now.
Yeah,
bro. Let me tell you this. As much as people disrespecting Kyrie, Kyrie got talent. Don't forget that Kyrie was the Robin to LeBron James's Batman. I don't care what nobody says.
Never said that. He's a part-time player. Don't come back to haunt him. As you can see, that's why Harden ain't want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kyrie is one of the best point guards. He's not the best point guard in the NBA. But the truth of the matter is, because of his, you know, situation, you know what I'm saying, you can't really count on him right now. So technically, you really got Simmons, and Durant's injured. Is Durant still injured?
Yes,
he is.
Yeah.
So you really just got Simmons right now. You know what I'm saying? So it's right. I would not Kyrie. But he's not available.
They got Curry too. They got Curry up there too.
That's what they're gonna need with KD being out. Because let's not forget, Ben Simmons can't shoot. Let's just be honest. He cannot shoot. Now, hopefully he'll be able to get to the bucket and get some, you know, be able to get some other players in the game and be a playmaker. But let's keep this 100. Ben Simmons cannot shoot.
Mm-hmm. I still say Ben Simmons got something for you all, and don't have to happen right away because he's with the team now, right? He's not with the team for just a year. He's with the team, right? As a team develops and we move forward. All right, I'm feeling it. I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
What does he have? What does he have?
Ben is a tall – Ben can play what? All, except for the number five position, he can play probably play four positions on the court. Okay.
How many now, points is it going to get you a game?
I don't even know, to be totally honest with you, because he has to go to the hole. Ben is the type of cat that got to go to the hoop.
Exactly.
You can't depend on his jumper. You can't depend on a three-pointer from Ben. And I'm not sleeping on you, but just the fact that he's that tall and can penetrate, man, don't forget he has these they're not complimentary to him. He's complimentary to them. You get KD on the court. You get Kyrie back. All right. You have Curry, who can just drill it from the three-point line as well. It maybe not as good as his brother, but he still can knock it down. Absolutely. Man, I'm telling y'all, don't sleep. Don't sleep. Development moving forward, maybe not right now is the perfect situation. I'm not saying that. But moving forward with those pieces, that takes everything off of his shoulders. Remember, in Philly, everybody's looking at him. And they're looking at the big guys. So it's like, okay, so now I can just lay back. And I say that, David, to say this. I remember seeing when Ben was playing at LSU and everybody's like, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons, Ben Simmons. I'm like, yo, but what is he doing? Like all the pressure was on his shoulders to take LSU into the tournament and to make some big things happen in the tournament. And you guys know this, if you followed it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So that's a lot of pressure. The pressure has always been on Ben Simmons. And I'm not trying to give him an out because I don't like what he did, the way he handled that whole situation. I think it was disrespectful to his teammates and even to coach, because he had one of the best coaches in basketball, as far as I'm concerned, when you're looking at Doc. And I think Doc is a player's coach. But all that pressure was on him. He had to be a star. And I love Joel. So when him in Philly, you know it's him and Joel. Him and Joel. That's what everybody's looking at. You're looking for that production. With him in New York and in Brooklyn, bruh, he could be on the sleep tick. Like, I can come out here and dish it off, get you all the assists. I can come out here and get you some boards. All right. I'm not saying he's going to get you that many points, but I see him doing a lot of different things. With him being that tall and being able to play all the positions, even on the defensive side, if he tightens up his defense. But I'm just saying, I think
it's. They got Blake Griffin, too, though. The Nets got Blake Griffin as well.
He's done.
Yeah, but I'm not feeling Blake. Blake's not the same he used to be.
He's about to.
Can I say something?
Is he done?
Go ahead, Keith.
My thing with that is, first of all, you don't know if KD's going to come back 100% with his injury. And then, like I said, with Kyrie being out, he's still a part-time player. So that's going to put a lot of pressure on Ben Simmons. And another point I wanted to make, where is Ben Simmons' confidence since that series against the Atlanta Hawks last year when he passed up the dunk and he was scared to go to the foul line? We got to see. I mean, this change of scenery might be good for him, but where is his confidence? He ain't played. I'm pretty sure he's in good conditioning and all that, but it's different now because he's going to a different team, still the NBA, man. But where is his confidence at?
Go ahead, Vince.
I'm not sure. Physically, where is he at? He hasn't played all season. We're halfway, into the season, and so I mean, conditioning is. I don't care that he's young. Conditioning is a big deal. I mean, you have players who are out for just a few games, and they have to get their conditioning back up. So I think there's an issue with physically. Is he ready to come back? And mentally is the biggest thing. He has this huge hurdle that he has to get over. Once he comes back, I do think that a change of scenery should help. But I also wonder, does Ben Simmons want to play? It's like sitting out this long. I understand that he didn't want to play for Philly again. I have my opinions on that. I think everybody involved played a role. And where he is now, including Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid, but I'm not sure.
Hold up, bro. Before you even go past that, though, before you go past that, bro, he's a grown ass man. Ain't nobody's fault but his own. He's responsible for his own actions. Oh. He's responsible for how he responded. He's responsible for how he handled it. So you can't say, well, a lot of people played that role. Nah, he played. It was him.
No. What I'm saying is that when your coach doesn't stand up for you, I mean, how often do we hear a coach, like, despite what happens, you know, coaches and players back up their players, right? They don't usually throw them under the bus. In my opinion, when Doc Rivers was asked, can Ben Simmons be your point guard? He was like, no.
Championship. I mean, wasn't championship thrown in there? I think the word championship was thrown in there.
It doesn't matter. I mean, you still should back your players. Whatever the question is. Yeah.
I agree to that to a certain extent.
Absolutely. I agree to that to a certain extent. Of any blame, yeah, you're right. He's a grown man. He has to take some responsibility. But I'm just thinking, you know, from this time that he sat out, was he content with just, you know, just chilling and collecting a check? You know, I mean, like, where's his heart at in terms of, you know, really coming back? Because I've said ever since he came into the league, I said every offseason, Ben Simmons needs to work on his jump shot every year. I said that every offseason. Your job in the offseason is to first get a break from playing a long season, but then you got to work on your game. And you got to identify weaknesses and be determined to come back better the following year. Mm-hmm. Because the goal is to win a championship. And if your goal is not to win a championship, I'm not sure what you're out there doing. And so what I question is kind of like his heart and his commitment to the game at this point.
Man, how dare you? That's why we're fans. And we're going to come back in just a second because Vince just lit a fire right there. And I want Dave to jump in on this red. And I want Cliff and Keith too because he just lit a fire. You all already know where I'm coming from. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. That's the end of the first half. We're talking NBA right now. We'll be right back.
Did you know that if you had more than one sexually transmitted infection, you're more at risk of getting HIV? Get tested today to know your status and see if PrEP is right for you. The Allegheny County Health Department's Public Health Clinic offers free and confidential walk-in HIV STD screenings at their Hill District location, 1908 Wiley Avenue. Call 412-578-8081 for more information.
I think I want my popcorn.
You're right. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Now, we're about to get into it because Vince just lit the flame. Vince just said, nope, I'm going to let you, Vince, say what you just said about, we were talking Ben Simmons, but mm-hmm. go ahead, put it out there again.
So my point is that, you know, you have a young player, been in the league, you know, 4 or 5 years, got a max deal, making $29 million a year. I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Simmons at some point during this time has said, you know what, I'm cool. Like, I don't need to go back and play basketball. And so part of me feels like, you know, when you kind of have that attitude, I'm not saying he does have that attitude, but I wouldn't be surprised when you want to win a championship, when you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself, like you go out there and you want to put out your best you, right? And whatever that is, I used when I coached young players, I said, you know, you need to go speak to the coach and you need to identify, ask your coach, what are your weaknesses so that you can go and work on your game and be better the next time you come out. And so that applies to all players at every level. You hear some of the best, the greatest players. You hear in the offseason about their workouts and who they've been working out with, trying to get better, playing pickup games and trying to get better. Because if you can't remain status quo and expect to go to another level, you got to put in the work. So I'm just questioning, because he's had some mental issues to me. There's some mental issues with how everything played out. And so I wouldn't be surprised if in the offseason, he put his feet up and said, you know what? I'm cool. I got enough money to live off for the rest of my life. I don't need basketball.
Fellas, because I'm going to get on my soapbox, so y'all need to speak now or forever hold your peace.
I'm going to say this one thing about Ben. Ben Simmons was the number one pick, right? Somebody mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Ben no, you're Simmons. Right.
Okay. So that's pressure right there. Here's one thing. Okay. I grew up in Ohio, so I'm a diehard Lakers fan from way back from the Magic Johnson days. So when I say that, I say I got spoiled with the likes of Magic Johnson and Kobe Bryant, the late great Kobe Bryant. And when I, and then of course now, you know, LeBron James, but you know, when I look at Ben Simmons, I just see a player who, in my opinion, doesn't just somewhere along the way lost his passion. I feel like lost his passion for the game. Because when you look at his performance in the playoffs, you know, you're the number one draft pick, and this is your time to shine. You know, that, you know, when you have, Kobe Bryant was what, a top, I think he was pick number 14, 15, something like that. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, his work ethic was unmatched. You know what I'm saying?
He was coming out of high school too. Remember that?
Yeah.
Kobe was coming from high school.
But Ben Simmons was what? He's a one and done, right? Ben Simmons was one and done. You know, he would have came out of high school if, you know, had the league didn't change the rule. You know, so my whole thing is you're a number one pick. So you need to rise to the occasion. And Ben Simmons didn't. Now, I agree with you that, hey, he the change of scenery may be good for him. But at this juncture in his career, you know, he's pretty much almost a bust because he didn't live up to that expectation. You're the number one pick in any sport. There is a level of expectation you need to rise up to. And Ben Simmons hasn't done that. And then just, you know, watching him play last year, it just seemed like, it was weird because I'm like, I know he's got the skill. I remember watching him at LSU. I'm like, all right, this guy can ball. You know, kind of reminded me of a Lamar Odom, Magic Johnson type deal. You know, sees the floor real well, can dribble, can do his thing. But, I mean, come on, man. Shaq was one of the worst free throw shooters in the history of the game. But that man worked every single offseason on his free throws.
Sure did.
I remember Kobe Bryant, the three-point shot was one of the weakest parts of his game, you know, but he came in and he worked. You know what I'm saying? If you are a professional and you have a love for the game, you're going to work on your weaknesses. You know what I'm saying? I know I'm using some of the greatest of all time, but the principle is still the same. You know, a football reference, Tom Brady. You know, we all know. Pick 199, sixth round. You saw the pictures of him. He was scrawny. But he just worked and worked and worked. You got to have that mentality. And I'm sorry, Ben Simmons doesn't.
All right. Hey, David, we got here for David, man. I got here for David. I got here for Cliff. I got here from even my man Keith or this one, and Ray. But go ahead, David, because I know you haven't said much.
So listen here. I hate to shake the boat on this one. When I look at Ben Simmons, I see Andrew Wiggins, plain and simple. Andrew Wiggins is the same as in Minnesota as we're talking about right now. And I feel Andrew Wiggins plays a little bit more better than Ben Simmons, but that same mentality with the pressure of being on him to score and being in a situation where he needs to be that main piece, it's not him. He is the third or fourth option. That's number one. Number two, when he gets to Brooklyn, he's going to have a problem immediately because Kevin Durant is out. Like Platt said, Kyrie is part-time. So, bro, you're going to have to score, and you're going to struggle that first month to 2 months. That's just plain and simple. Number three, what Curtis just brought up, his attitude. His attitude stinks. Just plain and simple. It stunk at LSU. It stunk at Philly. He acts like a kid, even though he's still young. You're a professional now, like you said, Curtis. With you being a professional, bro, you got to get in the gym because you have many deficiencies to your game. You have some talent that looks amazing, but just like when you get to college and you think you're the man coming out of high school and a coach will point to you and be like, mostly everybody on this team have been all section, all region, or all state. It's even a bigger stage when you get to the NBA. Most of those guys have been all conference and 1,000-point scorers. So what you can do athletically does not get you by, brother. You got to work at this. In this discussion, in the story, what it comes down to, if you don't work, forgive me, Curtis, you will be Greg Oden. You know what I'm saying?
Greg Oden? Yeah, did you say Greg Oden? Yeah, did you actually go Greg Oden route? Wow. Okay.
He's heading down that road. Hey, he's heading down that road.
Yes, he is.
He's heading down that road.
The point being is, unfortunately, he's heading towards that bus. Whether it was injuries or not, you know, they got labeled, unfortunately. But that's why I compared him to Andrew Wiggins. Now, Andrew Wiggins has been saved because he got sent to Golden State, and he doesn't have to be that guy. That's what I'm saying. If Andrew Wiggins was still in Minnesota, it would be over for him.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're number one pick, and you don't live up to that billing. I mean, whether it's injuries
or not, you're going to catch
whatever. You're going to get that bus label.
No doubt. I don't mean to cut you guys off, but I got to let Cliff get in here, let Ray get in here, and even Keith, because I can't wait to hear what Keith got to say. But go ahead, Cliff.
I don't know. To me, I think that Simmons is going to surprise people whenever he goes up to Brooklyn. Just because for that simple fact that he doesn't have to be the man. He doesn't have to live up to that number one draft pick expectation anymore. And, like, I don't know. I guess Urban just came back because, like, looking at the game stacks from Thursday night whenever the Nets played. And Irvin had 17 points in the first half. You know, he's back. He's there. Conditioning is going to be a question mark because he's missed time. Same with Ben. Whenever Simmons gets to start playing again because he is out for whatever reason, and I was going back through Simmons' stats. In 2015, he averaged 19 points a game, and then it started going down because 16 is whenever he missed the whole season. And then he had 11 points in 2017. In 2018, he had 9. Same in 2019. And last year, he averaged 9.5. So there's something going on there. You have to look at. And that's a coach's job, too, to figure out what's going on. How can I make him better? What else is going on besides the injury? Because he even pulled out of the Olympics. And that's whenever all the trade rumors started with him and everything. So there's something deeper rooted within the organization. Maybe it is Doc Rivers. Maybe it is. We have to look at everything because it just didn't happen. And remember, James Harden did the same thing down in Houston.
Yes,
that was the reason why he got traded to daggone Brooklyn in the first place, because he started so to me, in that aspect, they traded Harden for Ben Simmons. I think that Brooklyn overpaid, but whatever, they made out, they won that trade. I mean, the Sixers, in that aspect, you know, who they got right now? They got Maxey, Harden, and Thibault, Harris, and Ibiti.
They got Paul Millsap with that trade, too. They got Paul Millsap.
Oh, they did? I didn't see his name in it. And then they got, Brooklyn got the two
first-rounders.
First-round draft picks. So Philly traded, was complaining. Philly complained about they needed two first-round draft picks, right? And then they were asking for them. And then they gave them back to somebody else. Just now. And plus some more players. So make it make sense, Philly. I don't understand, Philly. I don't get it. So make it make sense.
I think they were tired of the situation, and they just wanted to get it over with. That's just me.
Yeah, I ain't giving up all that collateral for for a beer.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. That's the end of the third quarter. Fellas, get into it.
Time is flying.
We're going to come back with the fourth quarter in just a second. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. We'll be right back.
Urban Media Today celebrates Black History Month. Here's a Black History Month spotlight with Kiki Brown on Urban Media Today.
August Wilson, a Pittsburgh native, playwright, Pulitzer Prize winner, and legend, born April 27, 1945. Growing up in the Hill District section of Pittsburgh, August Wilson became a pioneer in the arts, building a collection of timeless theatrical pieces that continue to teach, reach, and inspire young artists from all around the world. Academy Award winner Denzel Washington traveled to Pittsburgh to film Fences, Wilson's first screenplay, which won actress Viola Davis an Academy Award for Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role, and nominated for Best Performance by an Actor for Denzel Washington and Best Adapted Screenplay for Mr. Wilson himself. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Denzel Washington says he plans to produce 10 Pulitzer-winning playwright August Wilson's plays for HBO over the next decade. Why not shine a spotlight on a pioneer who's been shining their brightness on the city of Pittsburgh from the beginning? Celebrating August Wilson this Black History Month, I'm Kiki Brown.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports, man. Vince done started something up in here. Catches responding. We're talking about Ben Simmons, talking about NBA, talking about the trade that took place in the middle of the week. Well, no, Thursday, I think it took place, where Ben went to ends up going to New York. New York, of all places. He's going to Brooklyn, but he's still in New York. And then you got, you know, the beard coming to Philly. I'm still out on that one. But anyway, trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. Anyway, So the cats are talking about it. Cliff was speaking earlier. We're going to go to Ray right now. So Ray, okay.
Yes, sir.
Because I got something I got to say. I'm listening to all of you. I'm making sure I'm listening to everything everybody's saying. But go ahead, Ray.
My thing is, you know, it is the question of if he's ready because he hasn't played all season. But I think, and not to use a pun, but I'll use it anyway, the ball literally is in his court with his career, literally. It's really up to him on how he's going to take this and run with it now that he has gotten out of Philly, and now that you know all the things that may have been dealing with him while he's there is over. So what's he going to do now? And I know he's seen a therapist. Good for him. You know, he's doing what he got to do. And they say that he's continuing to see that therapist as well. And you know, so, and I know he's traveling with the team and everything. So what's he going to do? And my question is, with the Nets, what is their atmosphere like anyway? I mean, they're about to get the paper champion label on from me because the expectation was they were supposed to do a little dominating, especially over Milwaukee last year. So can Ben Simmons be a positive or a light in some way to that locker room is the question. It doesn't even matter if it's about points, but just his mere presence because he's a different. I mean, because it's somebody different. If you know what I'm saying, that and fresh legs could benefit the team that's still fighting for a playoff spot. And if the season ended today, they'd have the eighth spot. So I think it's really up to him on what he wants to do.
My man, Keith Platt Jr., what you got, Keith? I know you're coming with the fire. Go ahead.
I'm going to be paying close attention to see how Ben Simmons jails with Kevin Durant and a part-time Kyrie Irving, because if you know Kevin Durant, man, Kevin Durant walks his own too, man. He's a different cat, man. So I don't know how he feels about the trade. Like I'm trying to pick him apart, like mentally and emotionally. I've been watching him lately, and I don't know if he's happy, man. So knowing Kevin Durant, man, he might not even want to be around.
He might just
walk his own beat on the court, man. Like, I mean, he's going to greet him and, you know, show him a little love. But I don't know if he's going to embrace this guy. So this is going to be real interesting to see, man. This is going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And like we were talking about earlier, where is Ben Simmons' conditioning and where is his confidence and where is he at mentally? You know, that last postseason, man, I think it took a lot of gas out of that boy, man. So we'll see.
I mean, doesn't it benefit KD to embrace Ben Simmons?
I think he almost has to, Vince.
Yeah,
he almost has to.
Yeah, absolutely.
If he doesn't, he will mentally break down if he doesn't. If a veteran doesn't embrace him, Vince, it's going to be a problem.
It's true.
Right.
And I think you're right.
Though he got that personality, man. You don't know with him, man. We've seen it.
I mean, if anything, I think KD, if he's upset, he should be upset with Kyrie.
Yeah, because Kyrie's a distraction.
Well, I mean,
that's his boy.
Yeah, but he didn't, you know, I mean, he didn't sign up for this. You know, I think he expected him to be there every day and be there right beside him to fight, the fight that he's going to fight. So,
right.
I mean, I think Ben Simmons is going to come in, like I say, change the scenery. I think he's going to come in and really be a nice compliment to that team in due time. I think he can be. I think he's a decent player. I don't think he has to. I don't think he has to fit into this new NBA where he has to be knocking down threes all the time. I just think he needs to improve a little bit on his jump shot. I mean, he's a really good shooter. I mean, everything is what a layup pretty much anyway, right? So I mean, he shoots above 50%. You know, probably 60% in some seasons I saw. So I mean, if he comes in and drops 15 a game, does his usual, you know, plays defense, nine assists, 8-9 rebounds. I think that's enough. As long as Kyrie's playing, as long as KD's playing, those guys get, their availability is an issue as well. I mean, and now I bring that up. You actually have three players, your three best players, where the availability is in question. I mean, KD, KD, Kyrie, and Ben Simmons. I mean, you just don't know what you're gonna get. Let's put it out from a health standpoint, whether it's mental or physical. So, I mean, I think Brooklyn's in a tough situation, just trying to figure out how does this team gel, how do they put all these pieces together. I think, the teams always want to add talent and think that talent equals wins, but chemistry matters.
Yep.
I think Brooklyn, I think Brooklyn and Philly, I think are not locks to make deep playoff runs.
Two things, Vince. Two things to what you just said. You just brought up a great point with Brooklyn's health, which is going to force Ben Simmons to have to be a main contributor. You know, we know KD's in and out with, some injuries. Kyrie's out part-time, like Platt said. And now let's touch Philly. How do we know Joel Embiid and James Harden are going to get along?
Yeah, is he going to be a team player? Period.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He can get along with the white hair.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's going to be really tough. Like, there's a possibility both of these trades can tank really bad.
There's a possibility
if James Harden goes to Philly and plays out of his mind, it could really help Philly. But what I can't wait is when Brooklyn goes to Philly. Philly's fans have no mercy. When he comes back, they're going to be all over him.
James Harden has just forced his way out of the two consecutive teams.
Yes, he did.
He's going to a fan base that does not have patience.
He's going to get crucified in Philly.
Older than him is his homie, though. Daryl Morey and an older, so he good for some shit. But yeah, you right, Vince. You right.
But this is a 2-minute offense. We're going to go through it real quick. Out of respect for your time this Saturday morning, I can't wait to get into the day. Keith, we're going to start with you, man. What you got?
Senior Bowl standout, man. It was brought to my attention, and I seen it with my own eyes. Mike Tomlin, his offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, and Kevin Colbert, they spent about 5 hours with quarterback Malik Willis's parents. So that sent off a bell in my head. Or the Steelers going to trade up and try to get this guy. I hope I'm talking it into existence, because at the Senior Bowl, he displayed a live arm. He looks like a running back from the waist down with a rocket arm, man. And he was throwing the ball well in the rain. I watched a couple of the practices, and him and Kenny Pickett looked like the top two quarterbacks. And I'm not saying he's going to be a star, but I would love for my Steelers to pick him and let him battle it out, man. You know, the guy kind of looks like Cordell Stewart, better passing skills, man. So hopefully Malik Willis can be a Pittsburgh Steeler. He stood out in the Senior Bowl, and I was very excited.
No doubt. I heard you on that one, man. I heard Tyrod Taylor might be in the mix. I'm not sure about that, though.
Oh, I want him, right. 180.
Good stuff, man. All right, Vince, what you got, man?
On Mondays, starting this Monday, there's a new show on the CW called March. It is a behind the scenes look at Prairie View A&M's marching band. It's an eight episode series going to highlight all the behind the scenes, what goes into that whole production of a marching band, and specifically an HBCU with all the tradition, the history, the culture. Like, you know, if you get a chance, check it out. I can't wait till the show comes on Mondays at 8 o'clock on the CW.
That's what's up, man. Good stuff. Oh, yeah, we got HBCU alum in the house along with me this time. So we'll get to him in a second, though. And plus, he's a brother that Black Eagle. First to first, he already knows. Anyway, we're going to go to you, Ray. What you got, Ray?
Well, I wanted to. I'm wearing this jersey for a reason and for a purpose. This is.
But you weren't the person I was talking about when I was talking about Black and Gold. But anyway, go ahead, Ray.
Oh, I know you weren't. I know you weren't, but it's okay. And I always still have my terrible towel for you, too. So, you know, it's all good whenever you need it. But, yeah, you know, I'm wearing this to honor a great linebacker in T.J. Watt, who was now on Thursday named AP Defensive Player of the Year. Very proud of him. Monster season, 22 and a half sacks, and truthfully, he carried Pittsburgh in a lot of games. He did what he did, and he did it in 15 games. He played 17 games in a season, so just imagine if he would have played all 17 games. But I salute him. I felt like he was robbed last year, despite my love and support of Aaron Donald. But I knew they were going to get it right this year. They paid the man, gave him his monies, $28 million, and now he's on top of the world as a defender. And truthfully, I feel like he probably should have deserved some MVP votes, at least NFL MVP votes. Right. So I give my congratulations to TJ. It's so cool on NFL Honors to see his brother JJ be the one to present the award to him. So that was pretty cool. So congratulations, TJ.
Tough, man. Yeah, he impressed me with that interception and ran in for a touchdown. I was like, what? That was crazy. All right. No, good stuff. All right, Cliff McAfee Jr., what you got, Cliff?
Well, as you alluded to, I'm not, no offense to Curtis, but AD needs that ring. He's the only person in Pittsburgh that rooting for that is playing in the Super Bowl. There's another cat that's playing. I'm not rooting for. And no shade to my brother, Auden Tate. I know him personally, but bro, you're going down too. You know, I just think that the defense for the Rams is just too good. I don't think that Cincinnati is going to be able to stop him. Him being AD, Aaron Donald, 99 is too much. And then you got Vaughn Miller coming off the edge. Now I don't see it happening. And then one more shout to a Pitt basketball alum. I know I said it last week, but Jason Matthews, his son, Bryn, is playing in autism awareness game on February 15th at the Yuengling Center down here in Tampa, Florida. And he personally came up and asked me if I was coming to it. I didn't know anything about it. So he said, yeah, come on out. And I said, yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
We'd love That's to do something for you.
That's good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah, let us know what happens, bro. Even invite them to the show, man. I mean, they can be on the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
That would be so cool. Yeah, no doubt. All right, so we saving the best for last. All right, you already know what I'm talking about, Frat. Anyway, David, you next. What you got, man?
Absolutely. This is a quick note. I spent my first year at Bethune-Cookman before I transferred to Toledo.
Oh,
so
that's what's up.
Definitely okay. HBCU love there. And actually, this afternoon, I am headed to the Morehouse-Clark game for the first time to cover it.
Good job.
So I'm definitely excited to check out that game for the first time. It's at Morehouse. And also, I'll be joining my brother Vince in April at the HBCU All-Star game. Down at the Final Four weekend in New Orleans. So I'm looking forward to that. It's getting towards that time as we're getting closer to March Madness. Looking forward to that. And great show today, fellas. I mean, I'll be thinking some more about some of these topics that we talked about, and we'll be bringing it back up in the coming weeks.
No doubt. All right, special guest Curtis Baldwin. All right, my brother, what you got, man?
I got a couple of things, man. First and foremost, man, thank you, gentlemen, for having me. It was a lot of fun. First, I want to give a shout out to my alma mater, Grambling State University, home of Eddie Robinson, Doug Williams. Hugh Jackson is now the head coach doing his thing, doing big things on the recruiting trail. Definitely excited for the SWAC for football season in the fall. Spent a couple years down here at Grambling, but the true form about Grambling State University, you can knock us down, but you can never knock us out. Secondly, Who Dey Nation, what's up? You know, tomorrow we gonna do our thing. I know it's you know what? All postseason, everybody's been saying, you know, when we they gave us a chance against the Raiders, but when the Titans, oh, you know, we won't get, you know, blasted by, you know, the Titans front four and Derrick Henry, and we came out there. You remember Burrow got sacked 9 times, still dropped 348 on. And then, you know, we go to Arrowhead. Oh, you can't win in Arrowhead. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, Patrick Mahomes is going to do you all in, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, guess what? We did our thing there. So this team, all season long, bats have been against the wall, and we come out swinging. I expect nothing nothing different on tomorrow. Joe Burrow is that dude. You can write that check and take it to the bank. But people sleep on that defense. I'm wearing big DJ Reader, number 98, you know, big nose tackle. I think he's going to do his thing. Nothing but love and respect for the Rams, but 33 years is a long time, man. We ain't got one. It's time to bring Lombardi to Ohio. And Cincinnati's going to do their thing on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it. And then again, guys, thanks again for having me. I had a great time. Please invite me again. Win or lose, and my boys win or lose, I still, you know, enjoy myself talking with you guys. So looking forward to another time. Thanks, God.
Oh, yeah, the door's open.
And also, give a shout out to my frat brother. And I got to say, my Spring 2000 Delta Sig, Grambling State University, 17 Souls of Lima Tep. And shout out to my Lion brothers and to all of my A5A brothers out there. So that's what's up.
No doubt. What was your number?
I was a 5 out of 17.
Oh man, I was a 4. Okay, that's what's up. Okay,
you know what? I started 4, then I got moved back to.
Okay, all right, that's what's up. Well, yeah, much respect to Grambling State. Much respect to the HBCUs. If you get a chance, check out not. If you get a chance, check out our HBCU top 25 men and women's basketball rankings. Comes out every Monday. It is on the website at urbanmediatoday.com. Definitely check that out, especially as we're getting closer to March Madness. That is something that's consistent and that you can look at. We are the only media outlet in the entire country, and I can say that with confidence, that is doing a top 25 HBCU men's and women's basketball poll rankings. urbanmediatoday.com. Also, I want to say thank you to you guys for being here today. Enjoy the Super Bowl tomorrow. It's Urban Media Today Talks Sports, and we'll see y'all next weekend.
Urban Media Today Talks Sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game you been played? How's it going down? I get up, all right?